2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 17. God's promise to David. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall not oppress them any more, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Let me add my welcome to Steve's. It's great to see you here this morning. Thank you for coming. Steve's prayed for us as we hear God's word read and taught. So let's crack on with looking at this passage in Matthew. Matthew chapter 22, I'm going to read from the first verse. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who'd been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who've been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calves, cattle have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep that passage open. I'll be referring to it as I talk. What I've just read is a parable spoken by Jesus. It was the main form with which Jesus did his teaching. A lot of people think parables are just for the children. You know, the people have all left and gone up to the hall. They should be doing parables, not us. We're the adults. But Jesus' parables are not simply stories to interest children. They have a powerful effect on us, just as Jesus himself had an effect when people met him. When people met Jesus, they were forced to either accept him or reject him. He made great demands on them. And Jesus' parables do that to us. They force a choice on us. Jesus' parables are about God and about us. And some will choose to ignore the challenge and insist, "No, this is just a children's story." But if we listen, we will recognize we've got to choose. Who will I be like in this story? Am I going to fit in the shoes of the characters in this story? Or am I going to change to make sure I'm not? Meeting Jesus forced people to make a choice, accept him or reject him. Hearing Jesus, when he teaches parables, forces us to make a choice. And we'll see what that choice is in a bit. Jesus uses the parables to teach and explain. And this one, he tells us, what's it about? Verse 2. "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." This phrase, "the kingdom of heaven," only comes up in the gospel according to Matthew. If you've read the other gospel accounts, the phrase "the kingdom of God" comes up instead. Kingdom of heaven is a phrase that means God's rule breaking into this world, bringing his ways. It's not God coming to find out what we'd like and, you know, taking a vote, finding out how we'd like things to be run or improved. This is God stepping in. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is greater than all earthly kingdoms. The kingdom of heaven will replace all earthly kingdoms. So it's important that we understand what the kingdom of heaven is like to be part of it. So this is what Jesus is doing. He's teaching, he's going to tell a story, and it's going to help us understand the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven like? Is it like the king? Is it like the wedding banquet, the party? No, what Jesus is saying, it's like this whole situation, not just one part of it. It doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like a particular event or a particular person or a particular place on earth. It's like this whole event where a great king organizes a wonderful party, invites people. People don't come. Other people do come. And at the end, someone's thrown out. That is what the kingdom of heaven is like, this whole picture. And the story pushes me to make a choice and pushes you to make a choice, because it's a warning story. And we're going to see there are two ways to fail, two ways to miss out. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Verse 2. "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son, and he sent servants to those who'd been invited." The king prepares a banquet to celebrate his son's wedding. That was the reason I asked Rosemary to read from the Old Testament passage about David and his son. The great promise in the Old Testament that one of David's sons would rule forever. And Jesus came to be the answer to that promise, the son of the king. This is a celebration. It's a lavish party. No expense is spared. It's the best food. and he sends out the invites. Mark, could we have the slide? Matthew 22, what is it about? Two ways to fail or miss out. And here they are. We can refuse God's invitation, or we can despise God's invitation. So first we're going to see the people who refuse the invitation. Verse 3, he sent his servants to those who'd been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. They refused the invitation. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who've been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened cattle have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. So they've been invited, it's time to come, but they refuse to come. They refuse the invitation. So the king sends more servants, and he even tells them the menu to make it more attractive. This is going to be a really good barbecue. Come to the banquet. What the people do, they refuse again. Their plans for the day matter more to them than the invitation. Now, we know from, if you've been following through Matthew with us week by week, you know that the people Jesus is speaking to here are God's nation, his people. But they have refused his invitation to trust in him. They've refused it again and again and again, generation after generation. It's not just that they didn't want the invitation. They'd actually harmed those who'd brought the invitation, the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. And that's what happens here. Verse 6, the rest seized his servants, ill-treated them and killed them. And this is a picture of what the kingdom of heaven is like, God's rule. Those who do not want anything to do with God, they refuse God's offer. And they get more and more aggressive in rejecting it. You might know that from people at work or people in your family. People will become more and more aggressive. This is a warning for us. This is a warning for you. Don't refuse the invitation. Don't refuse God's free offer. God offers life with him, the best life, pictured like a party. But people reject him. Sorry, it's not to mean that this life, in this life, it will be a party. Christians will tell you that if you're not a Christian. The Christian life isn't one long party. It can be very hard. But life with God is good, and life with God in the next life will be a banquet. But people reject that offer, more interested in living lives our way. We turn our back. We think our lives, our choices are more important. Well, back to the story. What does the king do? Look at verse 7. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. This is a total obliteration, like we're seeing in the news from Ukraine or from Gaza. But this time, different from what we see on our news, this is just. This is a right destruction by the king. It does seem extreme. Remember, this is a parable. It's a story. It does seem odd. How can he destroy the city they live in? Surely they're in the same city. That seems a bit curious. But it's a story told to make a point, to warn us. And Jesus' warning is, don't refuse the offer. Don't refuse God's free offer. Now the king invites many more. Verse 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. This king is really generous. He's exceptional in his welcoming. And see, this is a welcome for anyone you can find, anyone who will come. It's not about being good enough. It's not for those who deserve it. It's for anyone and anybody. It doesn't depend on your status or your quality of your life. And in this way, it's like the free offer of the gospel, the good news of God. It's free for everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his son that whoever believes in him will not perish. But what will they have? They will have eternal life. When the group from our church will be going out next Sunday to visit local homes, we put a leaflet in and then knock on every door on the street. We don't just pick the ones that have got nice cars on the front. Every house. It's like the story Jesus told. You know the story of the sower who sowed the seed and he threw the seed. It went on all kinds of ground. The gospel invitation is for all kinds of people. That includes people who are in behaviours that are harmful to themselves and harmful to others. It includes Muslim people, Hindu people, Sikh people. The invitation from God goes to them. It includes people who don't want any religion. The invitation from God goes to them. It's for all sorts of people, because having this new life with God doesn't depend on us. It's all fixed by him. He's established it. He's created this new life. And he's simply saying, come to what I've prepared. Come to what I will give. We might, from time to time, think of God as mean. We can sometimes drift into that thinking. That's a mistake. If we've listened to what Jesus teaches here, God is not mean. He is very generous. But the warning from Jesus is, do not refuse the invitation. Do not refuse this free offer. Now, I've been talking as though everyone knows what that free offer is. If you don't know what the free offer of the Christian message is, please ask me afterwards. Or if it's easier, take one of these leaflets that are on the table in the lobby and have a read of that. Come back with questions. It's important to understand what the free offer is. The picture Jesus paints is of a banquet, but that's to help us think about the goodness of life with God. That's what he's inviting us to. The free offer is for people who don't deserve it. And that's one of the reasons why Christians sing, why Steve was encouraging you to smile as you sing. But there's good reasons to sing for Christians. So that is what the kingdom of heaven is like. A king who lays on a banquet and generously invites all kinds of people. He welcomes them. God is like that king, or that king is like God, welcomes people to life with him. So do not refuse the invitation. Do not refuse this generous offer. Jesus carries on, verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. Here is the second way to fail, despising the invitation. There are two ways to fail, two ways to miss out: refusing the invitation or despising the invitation. What's the problem with this person? He's not in wedding clothes. Imagine going to a special celebration, an impressive event, wearing dirty clothes, shabby clothes. That's disrespectful to your host. And when the king asked him, you know, how he is there without the clothes, the man is speechless. He has no speech. He has nothing that he can say because he is guilty. Now, we might think, well, how could someone who's just been pulled off the street get fancy clothes to wear for the party? It's not a real life situation. It's a story to warn us. So let's pay attention to the warning. The warning is, don't be like this man. Because what does the king do to him? Verse 13. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He's tied hand and foot. It means he can't move. Especially he can't get back into the party. He's thrown outside into darkness. Darkness is where there's no light to see by, no understanding, where people do evil things, where there is weeping, sadness and distress. and gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth is a strange phrase. It's sort of grinding your teeth, gritting your teeth. In the Bible, that's what people do when they're angry. Grinding teeth and clenched jaw comes from anger. And this is Jesus' picture of hell. People who feel sorry for themselves and are sure it's not fair. They are angry because they are sure they're right and God's wrong. Gritting their teeth. What this man has done is despise the invitation. He's turned up, but he's despised the host and the invitation. The A-list people didn't come, did they? But not all who did come took the party seriously. That's Jesus' point. Anyone can come, but in the story, they're coming to a wedding feast, not to a wake, not to a children's birthday party, not to a work meeting. So this man is in the room, but he's acting as though he isn't. Perhaps he just saw it as an opportunity for free food, but he's got no respect for the host. God's invitation is for everyone, but Jesus says only those who take it seriously really come, are really present. To illustrate this sort of thing, imagine if you're in a place where everyone is wearing high-vis jackets, in a work environment. You don't wear your swimming costume. You don't wear your party clothes. Yeah, it's the wrong kit. If everyone's dressed for a wedding, because it is a wedding, you don't come in wearing torn and smelly and dirty work clothes. And that was Jesus' criticism of the religious people of his time. They said they belonged to Abraham. They said, we are God's people. But their lives didn't fit. And just as we dress our bodies in the right clothes for an event, if we're one of God's people, we need to be clothing our lives with the right sort of actions and the right choices and the right attitudes. So Jesus is saying this invitation to life with God is for anyone. Anyone can come. And when you come, you will change. It's not that you have to change before you come. You will come, and when you come, you will start to change because you need to fit in. Some people in this story, they're in the room but behaving as though they're not, refusing to be changed by it. It's like us making a commitment to church, but no commitment to Jesus. And someone, they'll commit to come to this meeting once a week, but they're not seeking life with God. The bit of Romans that Steve had on the screen and read to us earlier, saying, offer your whole lives to God, every part of your life. That's the same idea as what Jesus has got here. Well, Jesus sums up the message in a surprising way in verse 14. Have a look at that with me. For many are invited, but few are chosen. That's Jesus' lesson from this story. Many are invited, but few are chosen. Many are invited. Some refuse to come at all. Others who do come refuse to actually submit to God's ways. In each case, it was their fault. It was their choice. The ones who said, I'm going to carry on my business, that was their fault. The one who didn't wear the wedding clothes, that was his fault. But when Jesus calls them chosen, it tells us that it actually depends on someone else's choice, on God's choice. So the ones who carried on with their business, the one who went back to his field, they were called, they were invited, but they weren't chosen. The man without the wedding suit was there, but he wasn't chosen. And that's perplexing. The Bible says behind the real choices that we make, it's God's work. God chooses people. Ultimately, it's his choice. We make these choices, but behind things is his choice. And those God chooses will show it in their lives. Offering every part of ourselves to him. Becoming increasingly like Jesus. Change is slow. And many Christians, we get very frustrated by how slowly we're changing. But there is change if you're a Christian. It is real change. And it's something that we want, something that we desire if we are Christian people. So here is a parable about the kingdom of God. The picture is a king prepared a wonderful banquet. It's to celebrate his son, who's like the great king promised to David in the Old Testament. The king gives the invitation. He chooses who accepts. And he doesn't respond lightly. He's not casual about those who refuse or who despise the invitation. And so Jesus' story sets out a warning and a choice. Am I one of the people in this story? That's your choice. That's what Jesus is saying to you. Are you someone in this story? Have you ignored God's invitation? Or are you like the man who is at the party but isn't really at the party? Don't refuse God's invitation. Don't despise it. Let's have a moment to think about those challenges in Jesus' teaching, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Almighty God, we thank you that in the Bible we have teaching from the Lord Jesus, your Son, who came into this world so that we can know you. Thank you that he makes very clear in this story the choice that we have and the danger of making the wrong choice. Please, Lord, help us to make the right choice. And when we struggle to make that choice, give us perhaps people to come alongside us or remind us of how serious this is. For those of us who've made that choice, please help us stay with it and keep seeking change so that our lives fit with being your children. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.